None of us are strangers to the struggles of life, are we? We deal with difficulties which come in many shapes and forms. Financial hardships, for example. Some of us live paycheck to paycheck, always in hope of paying our bills and meeting the quota on time, praying that some expense doesn't rise up and suddenly cast us into debt, right? Other times, these struggles take the shape of illnesses and disease. And maybe there's something you deal with which you know may never get better. Sometimes we worry about others who depend on us and if they'll be taken care of, if something is to happen to us, or if they'll be worse off than we once were. There's the haunting dread, the unknown future, pressing its weight down on our shoulders, uncertainty, struggles, relentlessly gnawing at us. They're there when we go to work, they're there when we get home and unwind, and they're there when we try to sleep at night. And then there's death. And unless Christ returns first, we all will face death. And if we live long enough, we will see the people we love the most die. Just this past week, we felt the loss of two loved ones in our parish, Chris Yates and Bill McLeese, two beloved members of our congregation dearly departed. It's a grim subject, isn't it? Suffering. When we think of these struggles, burdens, anxieties, we realize that none of us are strangers to them. We all suffer, and it's frustrating. And we all want to ask the question, what kind of God would allow this to happen to his people? What kind of God would let his people suffer? None of us are exempted from burdens. But the way we deal with the world and the way that we deal with these burdens and the way the world deals with them is quite different. And there's a few things we can do. First, we can become angry with God and dismissive. We can become cruel and cynical, supposing that this God really doesn't care about us and that this is some kind of heartless, cold universe where nothing really matters, right? That's one option. We become jealous and envious of others. And if you're on social media, you probably are familiar with Facebook and Instagram, how common it is to look through photos and videos of people who live much better lives than we do, don't we? Look at how happy they are, how healthy, how wealthy, how everything seems to be working out for them. I wish things were like that for me. It should be mine. That should be me. That's another direction. Others become dismissive, deistic, as though God sets up this world like a clock and just sets it on the counter and lets it wind down, right? God's busy. He's up there somewhere. And there's not so much that he's concerned with about what I'm dealing with down here. He doesn't really care. And honestly, to me, there's nothing more sad than the idea of a cold, uncaring God. But instead, I want us to look at our epistle reading again. If you're following along in your pew Bibles, that's going to be page 1301. We'll be looking at Romans chapter 8. St. Paul has a few things to say to us about suffering. St. Paul writes this: I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. Go a little further down. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even now we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for our full adoptions as sons, even the redemption of our body. You see, life involves suffering. We all go through it in our lives. Being a Christian doesn't get you around that fact. You're going to go through it at some point, and you probably already have. In fact, St. Paul even goes as far as to tell us that not only do we deal with the suffering from our own sins, but even creation itself was affected by the fall, wasn't it? The ground quakes, tornadoes destroy, storms pass over land, uprooting civilization and scattering peoples. The world is a mess because of the fall of man. And then there's even the sin of others, which has an effect on us. The ongoing battle in Ukraine against Russia's invasion. The genocide of Ukrainian civilians just a few months back, where adults were found bound up and executed. The children dispersed into Russian adoption agencies to break down Ukrainian civilization. They were victims of the sins of others' injustice. Women in Afghanistan today are more frequently taking their lives due to a pressure under Taliban rule, being denied education and basic human rights. When I was deployed to Afghanistan, I learned that those stories of terrorists shooting up schools because girls dared to get an education were far more frequent than our media likes to report. Even today, there, girls as young as 9 are being trafficked and sold, suffering at the hands of others. What does the Bible say? From start to finish, the Bible is filled with the tales of suffering and death, because these writers, guided by the Holy Spirit, knew that none of us would live a life without suffering. It's inescapable. Listen again to what St. Paul says in Romans 8, verses 16 and 17. He speaks of the Holy Spirit. St. Paul says, "The Spirit himself bears witness to our spirit that we are the children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him." St. Peter, similarly in his first epistle, writes, "Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice insofar as you share Christ's sufferings, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed." The suffering that's in the world today is due to the fall of mankind and the effect that has on ourselves and on the very earth itself. But when we do suffer, we don't suffer alone, do we? As St. Paul tells us, we suffer with him, with Christ. Suffering tests our faith. It can also give us the opportunity to be a witness to others as they see our faithfulness in the midst of it. You see, it's essential for us to remember that God is sovereign over creation and how he takes the suffering in our lives and uses it for good. Do you remember that passage in Genesis? What Joseph said to his brothers, "You meant evil against me, but what? But God meant it for good, to bring it about that many people should be kept alive as they are today." You meant evil against me, God used it for good. You know, so often, we tend to forget that every apostle other than St. John met a grisly end as a martyr of their faith. St. Peter, crucified upside down. St. Paul, who wrote such this inspiring epistle we're looking at today, was beheaded in Rome. Jesus, the Garden of Gethsemane. He felt agony, and he was arrested to face his passion. Jesus pleaded to the Father even, saying that he wished the cup of suffering would pass from him. But what does Jesus say? "Let thy will be done." He went through that suffering because through it he knew that God would use it for good. Our redemption comes at the cost of Jesus' suffering. The good of you, the good of me, and for all his creation. It's through the gruesome suffering of the cross that Christ took on the death of all those who believe and trust in him. They meant evil against him, but he used it for good. We need to remember what St. Paul said at the start of his epistle. He says, "The sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." What does that mean? It means that someday you won't just see glory. You won't just see the glory of Christ. You will experience it. The day you see God face to face. Christ's perseverance through suffering and his victory on the cross means that on the day of resurrection, you will share in Christ's glory. It will cause everything that you have endured to pale in comparison. Because one day, you're going to be in paradise. Looking back at all of these tribulations as but a distant memory of a long gone past. Nothing in comparison to your glorious future. One day, after your resurrection, you will be there reminiscing with your loved ones. "Remember that time? Got in that car accident. We didn't know if I was going to recover. Look at where we are now." St. Paul was familiar with suffering. He was hit with stones, wasn't he? He was beaten, shipwrecked. But he was relentless in his goal to spread the gospel of Christ. And here is Paul writing to us from his long gone past, telling us that in the midst of his trials, he had faith in the promise of the salvation Christ offered. Paul knew that no matter what, one day, no matter what he went through, he would see the glory of Christ and experience it face to face. And today, St. Paul sees God face to face in heaven, along with Chris Yates, along with Bill McLeese. And in closing, you will face struggles and difficulties. There will be times when things don't look good. But remember the endurance of the apostles, the endurance of Christ through suffering, because things will get better. You will have a glorious resurrection in your future. So endure, hang in there, and be an example to others who go through suffering, because it will be okay. You one day are going to reminisce with your loved ones about the struggles you went through in this life, how you overcame them. You're going to be in paradise saying, remember that time? Remember when the cancer spread? And the doctor says, there's no hope for recovery. Look at where we are today. When you go through the struggles of this life, keep in mind that promise of Christ and the salvation. Through the suffering Christ endured for you, He grants you a salvation and a future glory beyond compare. And rest in peace, knowing that in Christ, that glorious future awaits. Amen.